Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and today's date is Wednesday, March 27th, 2013, and here's a look at what we have coming up tonight.
Tonight, a new story of the death of Osama bin Laden. Plus, will robo-reporters replace mainstream journalists? And gun stores begin to ration their bullets as supplies run thin. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
All right, we have a great show for you lined up. And, of course, what day or what week or what month would be complete without another bin Laden story coming out? That's right, there he is, the return of Osama. We can't just kill this guy. We have to create 50,000 different stories, 50,000 different events, stage photos, fake burials, photos that'll never see the light of day. This guy is, man, he is just, he's everywhere. Now we have a new story from Peter Bergen. And this is CNN, the new story of the death of Osama bin Laden, complete with amazing 3D graphics. And basically what's going on here is Peter Bergen is saying, hey, there was a book called No Easy Day by Mark Owen. And basically his account, it was an entire book that was written about this fable, is completely wrong. His account is, and it also differs from another version that was written about in Esquire magazine, which we're going to get to in a second. But here's Peter Bergen. And he writes, what do we learn from the shooter story? Most critically, the shooter says he killed bin Laden with two shots at close range as he stood in his third floor bedroom of the compound at Abbottabad, Pakistan, where he had been hiding for more than 5 years. Okay, right. So that's different. And then he offers a reason why there's so many different stories. Let's go back to the article. All this took place in less than 15 minutes on a night where there was no moon and the electricity in the compound and surrounding neighborhood had been turned off. The SEALs were wearing night vision goggles that bathed the compound in a murky, pixelated glow. It was a confusing situation, and it helps to explain why Bissonnette, whose pen name was Mark Owen, who was the guy who wrote No Easy Day, account of the story differs from that of the shooter. And then there was the Esquire story about the shooter who can't get benefits now because he got out of the Army before his 20 years, so he doesn't qualify, and he's a hero, and how can we do this to our heroes? Let's just go back and look at some of the stories surrounding the death of Osama bin Laden. Let's go to the overhead cam, please. Right here. First, on May 5th, we got the Situation Room photo. There it is. And we got the Paul Joseph Watson article, staged White House Situation Room photos, part of bin Laden fable. And they actually have taken wherever we were pulling this photo from, they've taken it down. But the Mail Online still had it on their system. So there we go, May 5th. Now, May 13th. Narrative behind bin Laden fable flip-flops yet again. After first, they said they recorded the 40-minute raid, the bin Laden live on their head cameras. Then Panetta backtracked, saying the video feed was cut off when they entered the building. Now the narrative is reversed yet again, saying the SEALs did not record any of it. Wow. And then we go, well, we got to kill the witnesses. Helicopter crash in Afghanistan reportedly kills members of SEAL Team 6. How convenient. We got rid of the guys, the heroes. We put them on National Guard helicopter that they put all the SEALs on and send them off on a rescue mission, and the helicopter blows up. Then, November 15, 2011, less than a year after this incident happened, U.S. Special Operations Command is calling former Navy SEALs' alternative version of the raid that killed Osama bin Laden a bogus work of fiction. It is not true, said Colonel Tim Nye. It's not how it happened. And live with conspiracy theories and attacks on Obama White House, Chuck Farnsworth, SEAL targets Geronimo claims the alternative version of the raid in which SEAL team member bin Laden was shot within 90 seconds of arriving at the Pakistan compound, which the Al-Qaeda mastermind was holed up in. So here they're saying it only took him 90 seconds. And then it took him 15 minutes. And then it took him 40 minutes. And then we had video. And then we had the body, but we didn't take any photos. But we did take photos, but we're not going to show them to you. And then we dumped him in the ocean because that's part of Islamic tradition for burials. Let's move on to 2012, April 2nd. Pentagon has no records of Osama bin Laden's death. Wow, and then it all talks about the movie that they were going to release, Zero Dark Thirty, Catherine Bigelow's fictional piece, which the CIA later came out and said this movie's fake as well. But people out there are going to think that movie's based on the actual story. August 29th, 2012. Sealbook offers a different account of Bin Laden's death. This is the book written by Mark Owen, which is also detailed here. Insider exposes Bin Laden death hoax. And in this article, it's really important. It has a section here called Exposing the Hoax. There it is right there. InfoWars has maintained for years that Bin Laden died in 2002 and that his corpse would be dragged out at the most politically expedient moment. That most definitely has been the case. Yesterday, Alex interviewed Dr. Steve Pachinik. So that was back in August of 2012, a Harvard-trained psychiatrist with international relations. And he said Bin Laden's been dead for years. And we just had him on today, on today's Alex Jones show, talking about the same thing. I mean, it just, as long as they keep bringing it up, we're going to keep bringing out Pachinik saying, hey, he was dead for years. Let's move on. September 2012, September 1st. House SEALs on Bin Laden raid were told to say they were hunting for a lost drone if they were caught. More fodder to cloud the story. Because if we keep throwing different things out like a choose your own adventure book, then you don't really know what's true. You know? So go to page 6 if you're going to stage the Bin Laden raid photo. Or go to page 12 if you're going to go play golf. Or go to page 13 if you're going to have your Secretary of State call on the raid. I mean, it just gets weirder and weirder. March 27, 2013, ex-SEAL, Americans know too much about the Bin Laden raid. Now we have another ex-SEAL coming out saying, we don't need to know how he died, just that he died. We don't really need to know this information, especially when it's being brought out at a very, you know, politically charged moment. And who knows, that probably helped Obama get elected. Then we go to the Esquire magazine article. The man who killed Osama bin Laden is screwed. Talks about how the supposed shooter of bin Laden now doesn't have health benefits. None of the stuff because he got out after 16 years instead of 20. Then you don't get your benefits. Moving on. Story of SEAL Team 6 member, the shooter who killed Osama bin Laden, to be made into a movie. Now they're going to make another movie about this because one fake movie isn't enough. We have to come up with another one. So now we're going to have a movie called The Shooter coming out there, and it's all going to be released. Now, here's an older Army Times article. Administration won't release bin Laden records. The hunt for Osama bin Laden took a decade. It may take even longer to uncover the U.S. government emails, planning reports, photographs, which remember all the fake photographs that came out, and more that would shed a light on how the elite team of Navy SEALs killed the world's most wanted terrorist. And that's going to go to our next article. So we have a multitude of stories coming at you. Here's a story right there. Oh, and if that wasn't enough, here's another story. And here's another story. And here's another story. Until you don't really know what the story is, you just know that, hey, Navy SEALs killed him. And there's so many stories, I gotta believe one of them. They can't just keep putting out all this lies and lies and lies, but guess what? They are. And if you fall for it, you're probably drinking too much fluoride, which is gonna take us to a report now by David Knight.
Well, a woman's extreme addiction to tea just landed her in the hospital. She was drinking 100 cups a day over 17 years, but it wasn't the tea per se that got her sick. It was the fluoride in the tea.
While tea has many beneficial health effects, it's like a sponge for fluoride, pulling it out of the soil and retaining it. The more aged the tea, the higher the concentration of fluoride, so white tea has the lowest amount of fluoride, and green and black tea have higher dosages. Herbal teas, by the way, don't have fluoride. And since the fluoride comes from the soil, Japanese green tea, for example, has less fluoride than Chinese green tea.
And how did the fluoride overdose manifest itself? Well, the doctors thought she had cancer, and all of her teeth fell out. But wait, I thought fluoride was good for your teeth. I thought it was essential for dental health. Isn't that why we pay a large sum of money to the aluminum and nuclear industries to take their waste and dump it into our water? Well, many scientists have questioned both the efficacy of fluoride for dental health and its safety. A recent Harvard study found a correlation between low IQs and fluoride consumption.
And 97% of Western Europe has rejected water fluoridation. Listen to these quotes from European health officials. Toxic fluorides have never been added to the public water supplies in Austria. This water treatment has never been of use in Belgium and will never be. Generally, in Germany, fluoridation of drinking water is forbidden. Fluoridation of drinking water is the problematic nature of compulsory medication. Without fluoridation, European tooth decay rates have fallen as sharply over the past 50 years as rates in the U.S.
But in America, taxpayers are still forced to pay for fluoride. and American consumers are still force-medicated with fluoridation. A large body of research says that fluoride is neither effective nor safe. But if it were, you could never be sure of dosage if you just dump it into the water supply.
After the Czech Republic got their freedom, they stopped fluoridation, calling it uneconomical, unecological, unethical, forced medication. And they say it represents an untargeted form of supplementation which disregards actual individual intake.
And since fluoride is added to so many other products and occurs naturally in things like tea, it's only reasonable to assume that Americans are getting a much higher dosage of fluoride than even advocates would recommend. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.
All right, so if you are drinking too much fluoride, you probably believe in all the stories that they put out there, and you're probably defending it to your friends, saying, no, they killed him this way, and your other friends go, no, they killed him that way. Look, he's been dead for years. They either killed an old man up there who might have looked like bin Laden, or they didn't kill anybody. I mean, because then you have the whole video, which we didn't even play, of the guy from Pakistan who supposedly watched the whole raid from his roof, and he watched them bring all the people on the helicopter, and it blew up. Which would mean that there's dead Navy SEALs there, which would account for why they had to kill him in that the other helicopter accident in Afghanistan. All right, do you see where it's all going? We're going to throw so many different things at you, you don't know what to believe, so you believe anything. Let's move on to our next story. So instead of having more writers, actual humans come up with these, you'll be able to now rely on robo-writers. And this is from Paul Joseph Watson, robo-reporters to replace mainstream journalists. Establishment hacks now so glib and unquestioning they can be supplanted by computer programs. Thank goodness. I like it the end of here. Given the mainstream media reports have already proven themselves adept at regurgitating official statements and passing it off as news with no journalistic inquiry whatsoever, one wonders if anyone will really be able to detect if written stories are the work of real people or computer programs. This is just another way to get the party line out as quick as possible so you don't know what's going on. You just know that, well, this is a respected New York Times newspaper and Ken Smith, that stock reporter, is actually just a computer algorithm. Moving on. Echo madness. And this is from Yuri and Masson. As earthworms are blamed for global warming, ecologists suggest killing polar bears. Man, Urian really gets to the heart of all this eugenics and global warming operation. The world of global warming alarmists is increasingly resembling a madhouse with conservationists falling over each other trying to salvage their last treads of credibility. Very funny. What makes the situation more hilarious is the fact that echo zealots inadvertently put out increasingly panicking publications that look more like satires than studies. Take, for instance, earthworms increase emissions of the main greenhouse gas, carbon dioxide, and nitrous oxide. So there you go. Earthworms play an essential part in determining the greenhouse gas balance of soils worldwide, and their influence is expected to grow over the decades. So we got to get rid of earthworms and also get rid of polar bears. This is a pretty long article. One of the leading polar bear scientists who co-authored this bizarre proposal, Steve Amstrup, emphasizes the purpose of their suggestion for polar bear management is to remind readers and hopefully policy people that long-term future of polar bears is in jeopardy. Because remember, we saw the picture of the polar bear on the little piece of ice floe there that Al Gore used to say, our polar bears are going to be endangered, so we have to save them. Well, this guy's saying we got to start killing them. So who do we believe? It's kind of like the bin Laden fable. We're just going to throw so much at you, you're going to believe. Eventually, you don't really know what to believe, so you just go, okay, I just don't want to hear anymore, and we know he's dead. We know polar bears are bad. We know earthworms are bad. Moving on. Another InfoWars story from Steve Watson. And there she is, the dung beetle sucking up all the bullets. Gun stores resorting to bullet rationing. Owners blame mass DHS orders. Have never seen ammo shortages this bad. Gun stores across America are resorting to bullet rationing, with store owners saying they've never seen such shortages in their lifetimes, blaming huge ammunition purchases by the federal government. And they won't answer why they're buying the bullets. We've had congressman after congressman ask the dung beetle, Janet Napolitano, what are you doing with all these bullets? What's the purpose of it? And she has been mum on the issue. And for more on bullets and guns and everything else having to do with the Second Amendment, we go now to Dan Benandi, who has this report from St. Patrick's Day in Rhode Island.
This is Dan Bedanti reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. We're going to ask the public how they feel about gun control and how they feel about the Southern Poverty Law Center calling patriots domestic terrorists. Do you think citizens should be allowed to have assault weapons?
I believe that they should, but they shouldn't have the kinds that people are killing each other with. I think people should be allowed to have guns just because collectors.
Like for recreational purposes and if you have the right license to have the guns, but I don't think the right should be taken away from people.
Absolutely, and they fall within the guidelines that they are contributing members of society and that they are responsible. Absolutely.
No.
Yes, sir. In case anything goes wrong with the country in the future.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that they should be able to have handguns. I don't think that you know, a semi-automatic shouldn't be available to the local public, no.
I think we should, because I live in the western end, and you know what? Some people show up, and who knows who the hell they are?
Yes, I do.
Absolutely.
Yes. Do you think gun control keeps guns out of the hands of criminals?
No, they just get them anyways.
Yeah, they would find a way to get them.
Definitely not. It's just like drugs.
The people that legally have guns are not the ones that are going out and doing these shootings. It's all the illegal ones.
Pretty vague question.
Absolutely not, because there are other ways that criminals can get them within cities, within the country, across by boat, smugglers, human traffickers, etc.
Absolutely not.
Sometimes somebody knocks on your door and you don't know who the hell they are, and at the end of the day, it could be a criminal.
No, I don't.
Absolutely not.
I do not.
No.
No.
Not at all.
Should the government have the authority to change or abolish the Second Amendment?
No, absolutely not. That's why it's there.
Change? Yeah. Abolish? No. Things that don't work, they take out or they change. It's that simple.
No, sir. Not at all.
Absolutely not.
No, the government shouldn't have any of that power, because that's bullshit. It's taking away our rights, and it's not fair to us, because when somebody knocks at your front door and they're a criminal, well, what the fuck are you going to do?
Absolutely not. They already messed with the Constitution enough.
No.
No.
Not at all.
And what are your thoughts about the Southern Poverty Law Center now telling Homeland Security that patriot groups such as the Oath Keepers and any patriotic group is a domestic terror?
That's baloney. It's ridiculous. They're just taking our rights away. It just continues. It's wrong. It really aggravates me. Politicians are going way overboard here with things. Way overboard.
Well, I think the Tea Party are complete right-wing fanatics, so anything that keeps them in check, I'm okay with. Southern Poverty Law, yeah, you know, I always get that name wrong. I'll take them over any government agency any damn day. So that kind of gives you your answer there, right?
I think that's bullshit.
And as you can see, the public has different thoughts about gun control. And this is Dan Bedanti reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Thank you, Dan, for that report. Let's go now. Finally, Congressman vows to end TSA screening. Congressman John Mica, a consistent critic of the TSA who has pushed for airports to ditch the agency and replace it with private security screeners, is set to his biggest step to date to end the federal agency's rule throughout nation's airports. And he heads the Subcommittee on Government Reform, and he intends to introduce legislation to return all security authority in airports to private companies. Amen, please. I'm sick and tired of these TSA lines. Last time I flew, I was accompanying Alex up to New York to go visit Piers Morgan, and Alex was going to be on the show. And we had a TSA incident there where they were letting people walk through with their shoes on, young people and old people. But Alex, they didn't want him to do it. They wanted him to take off his shoes. All right, we go now to our quote of the day. This is from Jesus of Nazareth. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever swear by the gold of the temple, he is the debtor. Words to think about, especially in these coming crises with the banks. We're going to have more on that on Friday with Gerald Celente talking about the Cyprus aftermath. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. It's how we fund this whole operation. the nightly news, the special reports, all the things you send out to your friends via Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, we produce it here. Every day we're producing reports and little bits of information that you can send out, longer bits of information that tell, you know, a greater part of the story so you can kind of understand how we think the world is working and how you should be able to see through those instances of propaganda. And with that, that's the first part of the InfoWars Nightly News tonight. We're going to come back. I'm going to be sitting with David Knight, and we're actually going to show you some of the new entries for Operation Paul Revere. It's InfoWars Nightly News.
Ja'Kari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle and the RAD Eliminator Pro filtered sports bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever popular grab and go bag favorite, the Life Straw. The Crystal Quest shower filter system. And the Aquapod kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at the InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
InfoWars Magazine is more than just our answer to the internet kill switch. We're also going back to the roots of this country. When our founders, for a decade before 1776, known as the pamphleteers, with hundreds of little printing presses in every colony, got out the real news, the real information, and countered the system. This is tailored, designed with the truth to wake up your friends and family. This is the 21st century version of the pamphleteers. So get them at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Sign up and buy them in bulk. Sign up and be a micro distributor for a full year to buy them in bulk and get one of the newsstands added, or sign up and get 12 issues delivered to your door or give a gift subscription. Whatever you do, be part of the fight. And I want to salute and thank all of you that are subscribers and are getting the magazine in bulk or who have ever come to InfoWarsStore.com and bought any of our products, because we are supported by patriots and liberty lovers like you. We couldn't do it without you.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. And sitting next to me is the organizer of our latest contest, which is Operation Paul Revere. And that is where it's basically our talent search looking for filmmakers and filmmaking teams with the grand prize of $100,000. Plus, there's a second and third prize. And sitting next to me is the organizer of that, David Knight, one of our recent reporters who recently got hired due to one of the last contests we had, which was the reporter contest. And I was kind of honchoing that contest, getting all the entries organized, answering people's questions, doing all the things that it takes to pull off a contest. And I've got him here because we've been putting entries up on InfoWars.com, and you can go see those. Just do a search for Operation Paul Revere in the search line. But here he is, David Knight. How are you doing today?
Doing good, Rob.
So we've been getting lots of entries. You've been putting in, seven entries at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to show some clips of these mm-hmm. for the people yeah. out there. But let's go over some of the things, some of the misconceptions, but some of the things you'd like to see people do when they submit their film in. Some of the things that will make it go easier for you.
There's some common mistakes that people are making. The main one is they need to post to two different places. It's not a whole lot of things that they need to do, but they need to post to YouTube and one other online video. And I got to tell you, probably half the entries we get, we've only got a YouTube link. Mm-hmm. And it has to be posted online. Don't send us something in the mail. We've had a couple of people mail stuff in. We can't post your stuff up because we can't put stuff up if we don't have a release for it.
Right.
Which reminds us, we got a really funny short video from somebody that called themselves blowback media.
Yeah.
We could not find them anywhere. There was nothing on the disc or the letter that told us where they were coming from. It's really funny. We'd like to put it up. Of course, it's not a contest entry. They know that. Mm-hmm. But we'd like to put that up. So if you're out there and you're blowback media, let us know.
Because right.
We would really like to see it.
And it's sort of like a next generation of the jib jab videos that are out there. He has Osama bin Laden, Ahmed Dinajid. He puts Ron Paul in there.
Yeah.
But the funniest was where he takes that scene from Casino where Joe Pesci doesn't like the cards he's being dealt, and it's Obama. And he talks about, this is how the Fed works. You know, the guy doesn't want that card. Give me another card. Give me another card, and then they bring in
a couple of funny.
It's really talented
funny videos, and he's really good at it. So yeah, we'd love to put that up, but you got to let us know who you are, and so we can get the release for that.
Exactly.
The other thing is product placement. We want to make sure that there's something in there about InfoWars. We've got to fund the operation. We are doing this. You know, we got to pay for this contest, but it also helps us to know that it's something that you created for the contest. We've got a very short window here of 3 months, and so things are starting to accelerate now. We're getting a lot more contest entries as we're getting closer to the deadline, because it takes a while for people to put stuff together. But make sure you put some product placement in there. It can be very subtle. We had a good example about 2 weeks ago of a short film. It was about 22 minutes. It was called The Unproductive, and these people had done this before the contest. And it would have been a really good entry, and hopefully they're going to do something in time for the regular contest. But it had a good example of product placement. It was a movie about euthanasia, and they had some demonstrators in front of the hospital, and they were carrying some InfoWars signs and had some InfoWars T-shirts. So it's real subtle stuff. It could be that sort of thing. It doesn't have to be very long. And as you'll see on some of these videos, we've got some people will put our whole commercial.
Like that was pretty subtle,
yeah,
right there.
That was
there.
Very subtle. Yeah. Yeah. You'll put the whole commercial for maybe a minute or two. You need to have your audience in the first few seconds or you're going to lose them.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a real important thing to do. So don't put a great big commercial up at the front of
all your awesome production companies, all the people involved. That's one thing that I noticed in watching these. You know, it gets, frankly, it's boring.
Yeah.
Start it off with the action.
Right.
You know, Saving Private Ryan comes to mind. You know, it starts off in D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a whole great movie along with that and all this other stuff going on. But, you know, it starts off with the invasion and, you know, bullets flying and action. And that's what's going to draw people into your film.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, James Bond.
They always start out with a spectacular action scene.
Exactly.
And that goes for a very long time.
Right.
And then they do the credits. And
yes.
then they do the thing. So if you want to put the credits in the beginning, make it short, but put it after you've done something to grab their attention and make them think that they really want to see this.
I'm not interested in seeing your logo. I'm sure you're a great production company, a great person. But as a YouTube viewer, you know, you've got 30 seconds to catch somebody's attention.
Right.
And there's still plenty of time to, you know, send in your entries. We have a little over a month left, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. One other thing, too, I want to mention, and that is copyright music. Make sure that you're not using copyrighted music. Now, there's a lot of sites out there where you can very affordably buy music. You can go to iStock. You can go to Digital Juice. You can even get some free, royalty-free music.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things out there. So don't disqualify yourself from the cash prize by reusing some music that's out there. And the last thing is, if you've got some ideas that are really good and you're talented in one area, collaborate with other people.
Yep.
Get on Craigslist. If you can't shoot, find a photographer who can shoot. You guys can work it out. If you're a screenwriter, get a photographer. Find somebody that can do the post-production. Collaborate with somebody to fill in your weaknesses. So we really want to get this message out. And so that's why we're saying, you know, don't put a lot of stuff at the beginning of the video. We want the audience to watch what you're telling them about liberty and about freedom. And that's one of the things you need to learn. We want to help you guys to more effectively communicate the message, because we want a million Paul Revere's out there basically waking everybody else up.
And going back to your collaboration thing, if you don't know how to do something, back in, I think it was 2008, I entered a 48-hour film contest. But it was some guy had the idea. He was like the producer of it. I came in, did some shooting and editing, and showed him some things I had learned. There was another shooter and editor. And then we had these other people who came in and filled out all these roles. I didn't know any of these people when I started. And I still keep in touch with a lot of them, you know, just because with that moment. And just that's the way good teams are made sometimes.
Right.
You find those different people. If you have three people that can shoot, well, that doesn't help. Mm-hmm. You know, you need somebody who's looking out for the little details, somebody who can work with actors, somebody who can act, somebody who can, you know, gather props and find good sets, somebody who's good with lights. It's a collaborative art. It's not a one person thing. If you're a one-person thing, you're going to be spending an awful lot of time banging your head against the wall.
Right, right. I mean, even Planet InfoWars, even go there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things that it's going to be difficult to do that kind of collaboration over a long distance, but you never know. You might be able to find somebody in your area. There's people that have gotten together to fight fluoridation, for example, in their area, so you might be able to find some other people.
And there's still plenty of time. You still got time to, even now, if you started today and said, you know what, $100,000, I can take all my free time, spend it, make a good 5-minute piece, and enter this contest. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people who can really take it to the next level, because even if you don't win, even if you put in something that Alex likes but you're not the winner, there's still a chance for going on and doing other things. He's going to build, use this to build different teams to have out there. So we're making films continuously. We're building a production hub.
That's right. It's not just a cash prize.
Right.
I didn't win the reporter contest.
No.
Kari did, but I'm still here, right? And that's going to happen with this contest as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, you're here. You're able to use your skills. Even though you didn't win, you're still providing for your family. You're moving down here, and you came from North Carolina.
Right, right.
So, well, let's go to some of these right now. We got the first one. We got Christopher Green, Surveillance State. Tell us about this one, and then we'll go to the clip.
Well, we try to pick. I pulled for this program several different ones that are different styles. So this is a documentary, and I thought this was a pretty interesting documentary. What he's looking at is the surveillance state and how people are tied into the virtual reality world of the computer and the internet and that sort of thing.
My
and
phone.
It really kind of, yeah, it really kind of puts them at the mercy of the surveillance state.
Okay. So well, let's go to that clip now.
Only the collective consciousness of the hive. Interconnected and hardwired by technology in the pursuit of perfection. Self, as we once knew it, has been replaced by a central authority. A database of the collective mind, of which resistance is futile. Breakthroughs in science and technology are revolutionizing our world. Leading companies like Google can now predict and change our future behavior. Advertising is no longer targeted to the masses, but rather to us individually, based on our own unique search inputs and paradigm. We share everything with the hive, so much so that cookies and bots now track our every move. Are we sharing too much? And what are the long-term implications of this paradigm shift? Technology is for profit, and the more we allow it to influence our daily lives, the more it can potentially take from us, sell us, and give to its creators. If in this new world, the individual becomes the collective, part of the masses that links back to the hive mind, then who controls the hive? And what are its motives? At every waking and non-waking moment, our life experience is being data mined, integrated within our own reality. We share our photos on Facebook, comment on an interesting YouTube video, search for specific keywords, all while each action is logged into a computer database. Elements of the future can be seen even now in our younger generations, addicted to their cell phones, Facebook, and Twitter accounts. They lack traditional communication and social skills, yet thrive in the non-physical world where virtual reality and digital communication is at warp speed.
Wow, that was really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and I gotta share a little story. Alex was talking about his son looking for the iPad this morning on the show. My 3-year-old, his son's 10. My 3-year-old knows to grab my phone and how to get to YouTube, even though I have it hidden. He knows how to get to it and search for Lego videos. 3 years old.
That's amazing.
And you know, I'm thinking, God, when I was 3, I barely knew how to turn on the TV, you know, and he knows how to work this little machine that's, you know, pretty powerful. A powerful little handheld supercomputer.
Yeah, and he got it from just watching.
He got it from just watching, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Exactly. Well, that was, and that looked more like a kind of a one-man show type piece where he was grabbing images and making things. And, you know,
but it's good editing.
Yeah.
You know, very compelling.
Good pacing.
Yep.
And he started off right with a story.
Mm-hmm.
There was no long intro credits or any of that.
Right.
And he just got right into it. That was great.
Good documentary example.
Yeah. And so next we're going to Sean Brandt. And
now this video is DJ one we Big were talking Dad. About before that he's got a little bit over a minute before the video really kicks in, and he's just kind of showing clips of our Paul Revere video, and he's got some music bed underneath it, and that's what I think. You know, he could really make his entry a lot stronger if he would cut that and go right into the.
Now, if people want to do that. Are they allowed to finagle with it? Say they submit it and then redo it.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. All right. Absolutely. So yeah, that'd be a good idea for him to do that. If you're listening, Sean.
Sean, there you go. There's a little tidbit from a couple guys who've been doing this for a while. I've been making videos since '99. I bought a G3 and a VX1000, and I went from theater into making videos. And actually, the first video I made was a promo for a guy who wanted to be a wrestler, professional wrestler.
Wasn't Dan Vidante, was it?
It wasn't Dan Vidante. No. It was Downtown Eddie Brown, but. You know, that's how it starts. It started doing that, and then I got started working in, doing training video for a semiconductor company, and then started doing music videos, making my own features, shorts, and, and now I'm here. 2009, I got hired here, and
I started making my own movie trailers for video stores that we had because good ones for classic films,
Yeah. So that's how it starts. I mean, it starts sort of like, I want to do this. How do I do it? How do I get in? You know, I was going around going to production companies saying, I want to be a director. And these guys were looking at me like, oh, you want to be a director? Okay. See you later. You know, they weren't interested in that. They want somebody who wants to come in and coil cables in the beginning. So this is a way to sort of bypass that. Most of these people, the people who are going to win, I imagine they've done this before. This is not going to be their first rodeo. Mm-hmm. They've done production because every time I go into a production situation, I learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
You get, different things happen. There's, because of the elements involved, something's going to go wrong, something's going to go right that you didn't expect. And those are the cool moments that hopefully you get those on tape or on film or digital media, however you're shooting. And can put those into this project because that's at the end of the day we want to wake people up, which is why it's called Operation Paul Revere.
Right.
So let's go to the next one. This is Sean Brandt, Global Tyranny DJ Big Dad.
Silver coins, drug out of line, on the airplane at the airport, and this is what they're going to do. The globalists here today are saying we're going to have capital control, and they're shutting it up. Where everybody used to the checkpoints, and you get there, and you're gone, and your husband's taken off and shot in the back of the head.
Seeing that video when it came out, and Alex actually did a couple special reports on it. I believe that is the video where the guy taping it is making these weird demonic noises because the kids are like kind of begging, like please, please, and he's making fun of him, and he's going. I mean, it really shows the evil that we're up against.
Yeah,
we have conditioned our soldiers and our policemen to be barbarians.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally
and
sick.
And there's clips of the way he worked Alex's voice in there.
Oh, yeah.
Alex is like, you know, channeling them essentially, you know, and
right.
making fun of them, parodying it. I mean, it was very powerful.
God.
I saw that, and, you know, I'm glad I didn't turn it off after the, almost turned it off that first minute or so. So, Sean, cut that out. But, you know, once it gets into it,
yeah.
his clips of police brutality are so powerful. I mean, I watched it, brought tears to my eyes. I hadn't seen most of those clips. It was just, and the way he pulls it together, and he mixes that in as it continues to go on there. He mixes in, Alex getting in Piers Morgan's face. And it's
yeah.
a very good
yeah.
video. I really like that video, so.
Very cool. Yeah, Sean, so just cut out your first minute 10 seconds, or put it at the end, or
yeah.
maybe have 5 seconds of a really cool looking logo. You know, that's another thing too. If you want to make a logo of your production company or whatever, that's cool. Make it quick.
Yeah.
Make
yeah.
it quick and then get into the story.
Yeah, 3 seconds, 5 seconds max or something
yeah.
like that. If you do, if you watch what Hollywood does with their logos, it's usually about that short.
Right, right. And it was good music too. It sounded like that was DJ Big Dead.
Mm-hmm. I think that's his original music. Yeah. Excellent. Pretty sure it is.
All right. Now we have Luke Lucurio. And this is The After, fictional narrative. And he wrote on there, nice camera work and production values.
Yeah.
And but he also took 55 seconds to get into it.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of an intro because we're just showing snippets of it. It's a fairly long video, so
yeah.
I wanted people to see, you know, get a better
the
gist
good,
of it.
The, yeah. the good, the juicy bits. Is
right.
What
I think at the point we're picking it up here, people are starting to talk, so you get an idea of what's going on.
Okay.
Here.
All right. Well, let's go to that one now. This is The After.
One day this world is going to change, and we're all going to be a part of it, whether we like it or not.
Time is an illusion. It doesn't matter. I knew that as soon as this went down.
You saw this coming. You didn't go with him. Your family did, and a whole lot of other people.
Rob spoke of these times. We should have all heeded his warning.
Who the hell knows what's on the other side of that door?
We can't stay here.
It has something to do with government. People are getting taken away to camps.
Others like us think they're out there figuring out which dead end to take.
Just have to fight. Look, as surreal and sinister as this all is, we have to hold each other up.
Man, you said high production values. That,
yeah.
that looked awesome.
Yeah, good acting.
God, good music, good acting, good cinematography. Good effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime you put a mask on a cop,
that's right.
You go into Creepville. You
that's
know,
right.
that's that was like, you know, he's channeling THX 1138. Looks like The Walking Dead. I mean, he's got all kinds of stuff going
yeah.
on there.
Yeah, and it's a fictional narrative.
Yeah,
and that's great because, you know, it really helps you get into somebody's mindset. You know, the movie that we had yesterday that was Hear the Silence.
Mm-hmm.
It was a BBC version about Andrew Wakefield's autism
oh, right.
vaccine research that he did, and they turned it into, they let the story unfold, and so you saw what it felt like for the children who had autism and how it affected their families and that sort of thing, and they're trying to find out what's wrong with this child. And so there's this period where they're going through and searching and researching, and finally they get to the doctor and they put this all together as
yeah.
a puzzle. It's a very effective way
and
to do it.
The doctors are saying, you just need more shots.
That's right.
That's all.
Right. Yeah. It's good you had the shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
They may, what do they say, mercury may improve performance?
That's right.
Whoa.
Make you faster, right?
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, the way they did that, you know, and of course that was professionally done by the BBC,
mm-hmm.
but it gets you into the story. It lets you empathize with the child, with the family. It lets you share in their discovery and kind of unfolding this, as opposed to just laying it out there and deductively telling somebody, you know, this
right.
is, you know, laying it out in outline.
And I like the way Luke did it. Short trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a couple scenes are going to come afterwards, about 10 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, we said you could do feature links up to, what, 2 hours?
Right, right.
I mean, you know, I don't know if you spend time doing 2 hours, you spend time doing a quality 10, 20, 30 minutes, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, instead of trying to go 2 hours. Because,
that's right,
you know, if it's that good, it's easy to take those scenes and then add to it and, you know, finish it out.
That's right. That's right.
We're just throwing out our ideas here, right, for people to
and
take
again,
and run
it took
with
about
it.
50 minutes to get into it because there's some credits and
yeah,
some stuff about it.
50 seconds to get into it. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, yeah, 50 seconds, right.
All right, let's go to the next one. Carmen DeMaria, Up in Arms, Imagination. And
this is
another one. It looks like you say started at 1:30.
Yeah,
so
that's
another
when
one
starts to pick up. Yeah. Actually, it just starts to pick up the pace. I know we don't have time to show the full.
Right,
full
and you can go see all these. Here's the article right here. There's the first article, Waking Up Humanity, Operation Paul Revere contest entries. That went up March 20th. And I think if you do a search engine for Operation Paul Revere contest entries, you'll find all the other ones. So there's the one we just saw, the after. That looks good. That looks really good. And then, you know, there's more. We don't have time to show all these videos. David just picked out some ones that he to show varying things. So, and none of this is going to mean that you're a shoe-in. You know,
right,
you're just
that's
picking
right
out some things. Here's the other
show
one.
Some diversity, and of course, it's going to be Alex who makes the final pick.
So. Right. Well, show the other article real quick. Filmmakers, Combat Threats to Freedom, Operation Paul Revere contest entries. That went up March 23rd. We got seven more. We're going to do seven more later this week, and then you just got more coming in. You said
that's right.
They're pouring in right now.
Yeah.
All right, David, we got one more that we're going to show. This is Up in Arms, Imagination. This is a music video.
Right, right.
So tell us about this one.
Really strong music. I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to hear it. Let's go to that.
Simple and clean. Yeah. Let's go to it.
Does not support any law that deprives the citizen of the rights provided under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
How are you going to pull these guns? I said, you're never going to pull the gun from Jack.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemons you get out there on the street.
Hello, my brothers. Hello, my sisters. We come together as one. We are
is one way to get around the music thing is write your own song and
yourself.
Do a music video.
Do it yourself.
Yeah.
That pumps me up. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's good guitar.
Yeah, good visuals.
Got a good little solo there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when you're talking about tyranny, there's so many examples out there, mm-hmm, and it makes
unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it makes
it's a
great
rich environment.
You know, we did some songs a long time ago. My old band. And I actually sent them to Alex. Right when we invaded Iraq, we did one called Shock and Awe, and we did another one called Global Love Cop, and that was inspired by Alex when he donned that that uniform, and he was talking as the Global Love Cop. And I'm thinking about putting those together and putting them out there for the InfoWarriors to see, because we never made videos for them. But, you know, as you can see, you just go online and search police brutality.
Absolutely.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Sure.
So how do people send in for the contest?
It's very simple. There's just a few rules that they need to follow. And then just basically, as long as you follow the rules as far as naming it, as far as doing product placement, as far as following the rules for copyright, that sort of thing, they just need to send me the two links of where they post it, YouTube and one other site. You send those to me, I'll send it back and say, we got it, and everything looks okay for, you know, first look, and you're entered. That's all there is to it. You don't have to fill out any form. That's another thing. I get that question a lot. Mm-hmm. There's no forms to fill out. There will be some licensing agreements for the finalists to sign. So we make sure that they really did create the stuff, that they do have copyright rights to everything that's in there. But if you're just submitting an entry for people, look, you want to get a message out to other people, just send me the two links and it's Paul
Revere.
There's
the email, paulrevere at infowars.com. Got it right behind you.
That's right.
And if you want to find out the contest rules, the prizes and all that, if you just search
InfoWars.com /contest.
That's easy.
Yeah.
InfoWars.com/contest.
And it's got everything about it. It has a time frame there. It's got all the rules. And then we restated in FAQ some of the common mistakes.
Right.
And that sort of thing. So please read that. And there's also a video where Alex and I were talking about some of the stuff that he's looking for. So that's a good thing to look for.
Oh, yeah.
Because Alex is the judge. You want to know what kind of insights he's looking for. And we also talk about product placement and some examples of that. So
yeah, we've got a lot of videos there on there. We got the kind of opening video talking about it. Then Alex kind of did a longer video. There's the cash prize. Just go back to that real quick. You got 100,000 first prize, 10,000 second prize, 5,000 third place. I mean, that is
significant.
$5,000 for making a music video. I've worked on music videos where I didn't get paid anything.
That's right.
What if you make a music video and you get $5,000 for it? I mean, or just even any video.
Right.
You know, that's...
And it's wide open. Any kind of style you want to do. You want to do a fictional narrative, you want to do a documentary, you want to do a music video, or think of something else.
Right.
I mean, there's any kind of style, and very wide open as far as time length. It can be anywhere from 3 minutes to 2 hours.
Excellent.
So it just has to be recent.
Right.
And just a few things, naming conventions and where you post it. That's all there is.
Have a little InfoWars plug every now and then. Something like this, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Drink out of the coffee cup.
There it is.
You can get those at the store, too, right?
Yeah, you can. You can get these at the InfoWars store and put them in your
video.
In your video. Or your T-shirt that you own. I shot actually a short interview with the guy.
All the time with movies.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
I shot with this guy. He had a tyranny response team. Jacket. This is when we went and protested South by Southwest because they were trying to keep us from passing out our magazine for free, thinking they owned the sidewalk and the streets and everything around there. You were there.
Yeah.
There's that guy who had the old Tyranny Response Team shirt, and he's on the bullhorn, and then when he's done, I said, how many of these have you been to? He goes, I've been to 50 protests. He goes, this is 51, and I wear my shirt to every one of them. You know, and I mean, it was an old, it's a dark blue shirt. This was faded blue. The lettering was kind of creased and tattered, but you could tell, you know, this guy's out there all the time doing this stuff. And, you know, I love shooting video. I love telling stories of video. I love working here and really getting the word out. And I really am excited. If I was not working in InfoWars, I would be entering this contest. Mm-hmm. I would be getting my buddies together, and we would be, you know, producing something, hopefully, that would win. But, you know, I can't do it. So you out there, you can enter it. InfoWars.com/contest. David, thanks a lot for coming in, talking about it. And we're going to do these weekly updates now up until the end. We're going to be showing these. I think it's great. Let's get people involved.
And we're going to feature some on the website.
There you go.
If they got an interesting topic, we'll put it out there. Somewhere.
And that doesn't mean you win just because we feature you on the website.
That
just means we thought this was a great piece and more people should see it.
That's right.
You know, I just noticed that music video had almost 4,000 views.
Yeah.
And that went up on the 23rd.
Yeah.
So, you know, if nothing else, You're going to get seen. Your product is going to get out there. Your talent is going
to
be seen.
And that's something we talked about before. I mean, a lot of people want to go to film festivals and that sort of thing. You can get to a much larger audience through Alex Jones's contest right here than you are in most film contests and most film festivals, you know.
I've been to film festivals, shown my stuff, 8 people in the theater. You know?
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, that's impressive. That guy's already got 4,000 views in less than a week.
Yeah.
4,000 people have watched it. That's 4 theaters filled with people. Well, you don't get that type of exposure,
That's
entering a film festival. And you got to pay to get into the film festival.
That's right.
You know, right. And that doesn't even guarantee you're going to get a spot.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely changing the way the game is being played.
The audience is so much larger than even the biggest film festivals like the Cannes Film Festival or Sundance or anything like that. And those are really kind of targeted towards industry insiders, that sort of thing. This is going to get you out there to your core audience.
Yeah.
And most of the people who are watching us, they really want to get the message out. They're not just doing this because they're mercenary. They really want to wake up the public, and this is a great way to do it.
It's great. I'm looking forward to it. I know there's some filmmakers out there that are InfoWarriors. That are working on the contest. Some of them have been emailing me and, you know, about other things. And I say, did you see about the contest? I know you're a filmmaker. Oh yeah, yeah, we're working on it. Awesome. You know, there's a guy in Phoenix, Arizona, another guy up in Montana, good friends of mine that, you know, I hope they make great videos. I want to see everybody, you know, do good on
this. We're expecting to get it snowed right here at the end with a lot of entries. That's why we're going to take 2 months to take a look at all of them, because it's going to be a task, I think.
And it's going to be fun.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody should join in on this. Right. Hey, and if you don't make a film, get on there and talk about the films that you like. Create a page on Planet InfoWars. Create a group. And let's start discussing these films, what you like about them, what you think could be better on them. Let's all make ourselves better filmmakers out there. So when we start putting stuff out on YouTube, it goes viral, even without us pushing it. You know, it has that message that's going to make people go really
good. Constructive criticism. Follow the Vimeo model, not the YouTube model.
Right.
You know, where you really tend
this
people.
This sucks.
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy to say that.
Right.
You know,
but YouTube people are really good about it. You know, so take a look at YouTube and
or Vimeo. Vimeo.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Vimeo. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Vimeo is a great play. And also, I think the quality is a little better on Vimeo when you upload it. They are. It's like that site was put together by filmmakers for filmmakers, and you know. It's a great place to put your stuff, even though we were showing the YouTube clips there. Vimeo is another source.
Yeah, a lot of people have used that.
Next week, let's do this again. Let's just show Vimeo clips.
Okay.
We're just going to show the ones from Vimeo to prove to people that, yes, you have to put it in two places, and we'll show it. All right. Well, thanks a lot, David. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Appreciate it, Rob.
All right. Wow. I think that was just some great pieces of video that people are putting together. I'm excited about this contest. I can't wait. To see the rest of the entries. I can't wait to see who the winner is going to be. I can't wait to see all the teams that we're going to build off of this to take it to the next level. Alex is totally committed to turning on the afterburners and really, you know, taking it to the globalists. I mean, that's really all I can say. I'm excited, man, since I arrived here in 2009, watching this company just grow and watching more things getting done. More victories, more people getting involved, you know, and we have all kinds of ways to do it. We've got a lot of free ways to do it just to spread the word of what we're doing. You know, you go to Infowars.com/newsletter. You can get, free weekly updates. Plus you get a digital copy of the Infowars magazine, which is going to be in here on Thursday. We're actually going, they'll be arriving then and shipping out next month's issue. And, we'll be promoting that. That's last month's issue, which is great. Civil War II. You know, we got a great team of graphic designers really taking it to the next level. There you go. Subscribe to the newsletter. All, you know, we want your email basically so we can email you the thing. And we don't sell this email list to anybody. We're not into that. And I know Alex is going to be soon starting a program where when you get the magazine, he's going to be shoving bumper stickers in there. He wants to do 1 million bumper stickers. That's a lot. You may not, you know, people say 1 million this, 1 million that. You look at 1 million bumper stickers, you know how many that is? That is pallets and pallets and pallets of bumper stickers. In fact, when they arrive, I'm going to shoot a video of them coming in and, you know, and we're giving those away for free. You know, you're going to pay for the shipping for the magazine and the cost of the magazine, but inside you're going to have bumper stickers that you can put up in legal and lawful areas, you know, only the places where you want to get the word out and wake people up and find like-minded people out there. You can also join, Planet InfoWars. com, where you've got all the groups. You got the Ask Alex. We ran one of those last week, where Christy Hightower, the moderator of Planet InfoWars, one of the moderators, gets to ask Alex a bunch of questions that you send in. And there's all the different groups. Is there a group in there for the Operation Paul Revere? I should get on Planet InfoWars more. I don't, because I'm busy. I feel like I don't have time to do anything. And there it is, Operation Paul Revere. Discussion, brainstorming, Q&A. There's a good way to network and meet like-minded people in your area who want to put a film together. Or maybe you could just come together for the weekend and shoot a film. You know, it could be done. I did a 48-hour film contest. We shot, edited, and submitted a film in 48 hours. So it can be done. There is no excuse not to get in this contest unless you're lazy. I mean, that's really the only excuse I guess you can make. Well, I'm too lazy to do it. I don't really want to win this money. I don't need this money. Well, okay. That's fine. That's our show for today. Thanks for David Knight for coming in and sharing all these great videos. I'm really excited about this. You can become a member of PrisonPlanet.tv if you are watching this on YouTube. It's $5.95 a month. You can share your username and passcode with up to 10 other people. You can be on at the same time watching The Daily Show, The Alex Jones Show, Nightly News, Special Reports, Movies, Rants, eBooks. It's all there. I mean, and we are really taking it to the next level. That day we had Jim Hightower come in. We shot 3 interviews in one day inside this studio, plus doing the regular news. I mean, we are really busting our butts to get the information out there to you. Appreciate you watching. Appreciate you spreading the word. It's InfoWars.com. This is InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Due.